Draper City Talk is a podcast produced by the Municipal Government of Draper City, Utah, where we discuss local government services and issues and the community at large. Hi, Draper City. Mayor Troy Walker with you again. We're here for our good Draper City Talk podcast. I would like to introduce and thank Linda Peterson, who is our communications director at Draper City. She's the lady who puts it together and makes it work and keeps us on task. So, Linda, welcome. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
And we have a good, we have a great podcast today. We have one of our fine Draper City PD officers, Mr. Adam Neff, who is an officer in our department, and he also has a special assignment, which is what we're going to talk about today, which is the DARE program. So, Officer Neff, welcome.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? How long have you worked for Draper City?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me here. I'm excited to share a little bit about the DARE program. So I've been with Draper City for just over 8 years.
8 years. Tell us why did you want to become a police officer? Give us your background. Where do you come? What got you into it?
So I've been in the police world for 15 years.
Okay.
I worked in corrections. I started back in 2007, and I did that for about 6 years. I got into corrections at that time because I was recently married, and my wife, she came down with some diabetes, the type 1 diabetes. That's usually early onset.
Yes.
She got that a little bit later. But I needed insurance, and so I was like, well, corrections, that's a good avenue to start for insurance purposes, and I can go to school and whatnot.
And so you had some interest in law enforcement, and you thought that's a good way to start.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I started that way, and then I went to, after 6 years in corrections, I went to West Valley City and was hired on there. I worked about a year, year and a half there in West Valley, and then I came to Draper, and I've been here for about 8.5 years.
Excellent. So corrections, I like that. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that's probably got to be one of the toughest law enforcement jobs there is.
By far.
And what I think is amazing about it is I've been on a few prison tours with corrections officers, and what I noticed when we were down the hallway, with all the inmates, is, and I was with a female correction officer, and I noticed she had no weapons, she had nothing.
Yep.
And I said, well, what do you do if you get in trouble? She said to me, we learn how to talk to people, and that's how we do it.
That's exactly it.
And so you spent 6 years learning how to talk to sort of what would be maybe the worst people. You learn how to reason with people that, aren't our best and aren't our willing to comply. I think that must make a really good police officer.
Absolutely. I think when we try to hire on police officers when they come to the road, one thing that is very important is to see if they have any correctional background, if they're in corrections, because of that reasoning.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of officers from the corrections.
Yeah, we have several here in Draper, and
it's
fantastic.
And you talk about the environment of law enforcement that you're in right now, with so much scrutiny on, use of force, specifically deadly force. I think it's amazing that, we're able to find officers, but that training, that ability to really talk with, deal with, get people to follow your instructions because they respect the way you treat them is invaluable and keeps you out of a lot of that scrutiny.
Right. In corrections, you mentioned that they don't have weapons. We don't carry guns when you're inside of a prison. You can't. You could imagine.
Take it and use it against you.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah. You could see what would happen. And so our mouth and our mind is our biggest weapon in communication with these offenders. And so if we can use that out on the road, out here on the streets, Draper, whatever city that you work for, it's extremely beneficial. Yeah.
Yeah, you get really good at treating people with respect and getting a little respect back, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, good. So you've spent a lot of time in law enforcement. What tell us about the DARE assignment. Is that something you volunteer for? How do you get DARE in Draper City PD?
Yeah, so you have to be interested in becoming a DARE officer. You have to go through the DARE training, be certified as a DARE officer. You have to be selected to teach DARE by the department. It's a process. And it was a process that I've always been interested in. Work in the streets, the beat, so to say,
for
so long, for 8 to 10 years, it can take a toll on a police officer, and there's a lot that goes involved in it. It's stressful. The DARE program in and of itself can be stressful as well, but it's a different type of stress. Out on the road, you're dealing with all sorts of different problems and issues, ranging from juveniles, infants, to adults, of everything. The DARE program, you're dealing with mainly just juveniles and the kids in the school, and it's not, you don't have a bad day in DARE, whereas as a police Right. officer, you can have a bad day with whatever call that you're on. But in DARE, at the schools, you don't have a bad day. So fifth yeah. graders are fantastic. I love working with fifth graders.
I mean, you look at your business, I always tell people, and I've spent a little time as a prosecutor, and I've spent most of my career as a defense attorney. So, I deal with the law enforcement from that perspective. But I always tell people, no one calls the police because they want them there. I mean, you guys always are coming to a yeah. situation that someone doesn't want you there, or if someone does want you there, the other person doesn't, that's involved. So you guys always go to situations that are, difficult. I mean, that's when people yeah. call.
We're dealing with people on their worst days.
Yeah. You're dealing with them on their worst days, their worst times, their worst decisions, their worst moments. I mean, that's definitely part of the stress of it. Well, so DARE, now you're a teacher. You're back. So did you have some educational background in teaching? Tell us a little bit about yes. your education.
So I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. So not really relevant to teaching DARE. I have taught several classes. When I was in corrections, I taught thinking for a change to the offenders.
Oh, good. Okay, awesome.
Life skills. I taught life skills. And so, yeah, I have some teaching background in that regards. But again, those are teaching to adults. I've been in the DARE program now. This is my second year, and teaching fifth graders, juveniles, it's so much fun. I enjoy it. They actually enjoy, as you mentioned, when we get called as police officers out on the street, people aren't excited to see us. They're having a bad day. It's somebody's worst day or having a bad day. When I walk into the school to talk to these kids, their faces just light up. They enjoy when I walk in the classroom.
And I think that's an interesting part of DARE. So we're going to get into what DARE means, but just the interaction that young kids get to have with a police officer, so they can see that you're one, just a regular human. Yeah. That you have a job to do, that you know how to, that you're like anyone else they know. They get an opportunity to sort of learn a little respect for law enforcement, hopefully. I always tell my clients to be polite to law enforcement. I always tell them not to make statements, but I always tell them to, right. to do what they're ordered yeah. to do and not cause an officer grief, because there's absolutely no point in causing a police officer any grief, making them have to do anything to you. There's just absolutely no call for it. If they order you to do something, if it's lawful, it's great. If it's not, we'll sort that out. But still, that's the way it works.
Absolutely.
And I think these kids getting to interact with you and get to see you as a teacher and maybe kind of see you as a mentor and a person they can trust and that they can see has their back is really a good thing.
Yeah, and teachers, when they're in there teaching their fifth grade class, the kids, I wouldn't say they get annoyed or they get bugged by their teacher seeing her day in and day out, or him, whoever it is.
Little change.
It's a little change yeah. when they see law enforcement. When we walk in with the uniform, happy to see them. They're definitely happy to see me, and I appreciate that on their end.
And with the amount of school violence that's occurred in the country, I think it's good to have officers in the school. So, from my perspective as a mayor, I'm glad you're there
yeah.
a certain number of hours of the day. A couple days a week. So let's talk a little bit about, give us an overview. What is DARE? Tell us what it stands for. Right. Every parent who's had a kid go through elementary should know, but go ahead.
Should know. Yeah. I talk to some kids every once in a while. I'll say, hey, do you remember what DARE stands for? And sometimes they'll need a helping hand, a little nudge in regards to what it stands for. But I ask the students and I ask parents or teachers prior to if they know what DARE stands for. So I'm going to turn this on you a little bit, Mayor, and I'm going to ask you if you know what DARE stands
for. I do.
For.
It stands for Drug Abuse Resistance Education.
Oh, yeah, perfect. And that's coming handy, all those graduations
yes.
you've come to, I'm sure.
It has.
It does. So DARE stands for Drug Abuse Resistance Education. A lot of times students will mix it up because we have the DARE decision-making model.
Yes.
I call it D squared, M squared, because there's two Ds and two Ms. With the DARE decision-making model, in fifth grade, they do the squared in their math, and so we kind of keep it on their level, and it's great that they enjoy that. But the DARE decision-making model, it also has DARE in it as well. So the D stands for define, the A is assess, the R is respond, and the E is for evaluate. So a lot of times students will mix up DARE, the drug abuse resistance education, with the DARE decision-making model, define, assess, respond, and evaluate.
Well, and really what you're, I mean, obviously you're going to talk about drugs and alcohol and those, but the decision-making is the thing that I like about the program. I mean, you know, I always tell my kids, life is a series of choices. I mean, you know, every choice you make is you're going to get to the end of whatever road that is.
And if you're positive or negative consequences.
If you're on the wrong road, you need to make a different choice, because that's how we get off. My grandfather used to say, pick that stick up, boy, and you're going to get the other end. So there's just nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
If you don't want the other end of that stick,
don't pick
that one up. So I think that's good, because I think kids, you know, today, we were talking a little bit before the podcast about the way kids see the world today. I think the greatest skill you can have as a person, at least in my opinion, is to be able to make a decision, evaluate a problem, make a decision, figure out what the pros and cons are, and then kind of move forward with, you know, you shouldn't be shocked by your choices. In other words, you should be able to think through and see what's in front of you and know what the consequence is. So,
yeah, part of the curriculum we do go over in that DARE decision-making model is our consequences. We talk about consequences for their choices. If they pick up this stick, they're going to have to deal with the other end of it.
Yep.
And sometimes those are positive consequences, but sometimes they're negative consequences, but they're our choice, and we're going to have to suffer those consequences, whatever they are.
Yeah, I mean, I've represented hundreds and hundreds of people on different crimes, but it always is interesting to me that some clients will be, I don't know how I got to this position. I'm like, well, I kind of do. It was all the drinking you were doing in the bar when you got in your car and drove, you know, out on the road. I mean, those decisions that you make, I mean, you gotta think through them, you know, and some people learn. They get in trouble one time and they realize, well, I gotta make better decisions. We're hoping with DARE we can get these kids to make a better decision before they find you behind them with the lights on, committing a crime, right?
And another awesome thing with the DARE program, we teach it to fifth graders.
Why is fifth grade?
So fifth grade's, I don't know exactly why fifth grade. They're not in middle school yet. They're still in elementary school. And here in Kenyon School District, that's the last level, fifth grade, until you go to middle school. Sixth grade is middle school.
Maybe they'll still listen.
They're still teachable, malleable. They're still excited to see law enforcement when we walk in. They're paying attention. It's a great, I love that age level. And then when they go from fifth grade to middle school, I'm in the middle school. And so I'll walk through the middle school and I'll see these fifth graders that I taught the year prior. And I'll talk with them. And occasionally during lunch, we'll walk around and I'll say, hey, Jack, what's the DARE decision-making model? And they'll be able to spout off what the DARE decision-making model is. And just little reminders like that
a year later. You can use the DARE model for all kinds of decisions.
Yeah,
you can decide, you know, what college you want to go to. You can use that decision-making model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do you want to date? Who do you want to be friends with? All that can be used. Give us a kind of a quick overview from the beginning of the program to the graduation. What do you start with? How does it flow? What can a kid expect when they get to the DARE program?
When they get into the DARE program. So a cool thing that we do that I've been doing recently this last year was I give their T-shirts to them at the beginning of the year.
Uh-huh.
We used to do that at the end of the year at graduation, but I've changed that to the first of the year so they can wear that on DARE days. So the day that we come in and teach DARE, they wear their DARE shirts. I think they enjoy that. And we also have these DARE books for them as well that they can look through. And we go through it and we talk about the DARE decision-making model. We talk about DARE rules, what DARE is. A little background on DARE itself. It started back in 1983, so 39 years ago. But it started in Los Angeles. Los Angeles was having a lot of crime at the time, kind of trying to associate their crime with, I don't know if it's mental health, what it was at that time, and they were able to link the two between drugs and alcohol, and the crime rate. The reason why the crime rate was through the roof was because of the drugs and alcohol they were having on their streets. And so the Los Angeles PD actually started their program in conjunction with their schools in their area and implemented it, and it's been a program ever since. The curriculum's changed a little bit over the years with the DARE decision-making model, But it's a great curriculum. We talk about confident communication. We talk about stress, how these kids can identify stress, especially in the world that they're living in today. They don't know how to understand the feelings that they have and how to express those.
Yeah, it's life is different than when I was fifth grade. But, I mean, it's important for kids to know that there's just sometimes life's just stressful and you just got to know how to deal with it. I mean, it just isn't always easy and happy, and we all have problems. Everyone's got hard things to deal with in their life. And if you can have a model or a tool that can help you make good decisions, that's probably one of the great things you can give a young person, the ability to think. Maybe think critically about a situation and run through the reasons why or for or no, you know.
Yeah,
so
correct.
I mean, you never want to, you just shouldn't be surprised by the consequences of your choices. You should be able to know what they're going to be.
Right. And these fifth graders, they're experiencing a lot nowadays. They have a lot going on. And so with these tools, so to say, with the DARE decision-making model, this helps them to be able to reason through their decisions and their choices that they make.
So you talk a little bit about, drugs and alcohol. You give them some information. Tell us kind of, what do you teach them? What's the goal? What do you try to teach them about drugs for specifically?
Yeah, so I think most people think DARE, they think just say no, drugs. Just say right. No, and that's kind of really all they remember from the DARE program, if they took the DARE program. It's so much more than that. We also refer the students as well as parents to, it's called parentsempowered.org. I don't know if you guys have seen the commercials. Parents Empowered, but they talk about drugs, they talk about alcohol, and
those
the
commercials
effects.
Are good. The ones that say, hey, you know, talk to your kid about it, because
there's
probably a few things you can do to a young brain that are worse than alcohol.
Yeah, correct. And it talks about that. And if you even go to their website, parentsempowered.org,
right.
You can see on their website, and they give you different ways to teach your kids and give them tools to be able to stay off of drugs and alcohol, set those hard lines, those boundaries with them in regards to staying alcohol free, or you know, at least no underage drinking is what they talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I like the focus of that program where it talks about underage, you know, focusing. I think when a kid knows that you know, alcohol use be under 21 specifically, well, actually probably under 26, is bad for your brain. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're, you know, I mean, a lot of people, look, alcohol's in our community. It's all over the place, and adults use it, but you're better off. I mean, aren't the statistics pretty clear? If you don't engage in alcohol abuse as a minor, you end up, you have a pretty low chance of being an alcoholic as an adult.
Yeah, so in the DARE book, we go over statistics in regards to tobacco and alcohol. And alcohol alone, 75,000 deaths per year with alcohol, and then tobacco related, there's 400,000 related deaths each year in the United States. So, and a lot of that, can be contributed to underage drinking as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I always tell my kids this, and of course my kids are a little older now, but I told them when they were younger, if you smoke today, you're stupid. I mean, there's just no question.
Yeah.
You can't possibly not know that smoking causes cancer of all kinds.
And not just smoking, but vaping as well, because vaping contains that nicotine.
Who would have thought the vaping would be bad too? I mean, I remember when that came out, I thought to myself as a lawyer that I guarantee you this is going to be as bad and probably worse than tobacco will be. And it's turning out to be that.
Yep.
The vaping is ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, I don't know how a modern kid could pick up a cigarette and decide
to start smoking find it enjoyable.
You know, my grandfather smoked for about 31 years and he quit, but he got bladder cancer from it. It's a common cancer from smoking. Well, everything washes to the bladder. And he spent about 40 years without a bladder because of it. I mean, it's legit. My brother's a doctor and he's always telling me that other than the cancers caused by, you know, tobacco and alcohol abuse, most people can live pretty healthy in their life. But you add those things in and you really change it. Let's talk about alcohol for a minute, because, you know, alcohol, I can't stress enough for young people to stay off of it, but alcohol's a problem. I mean, I think in my practice, just the amount of, you know, pain, misery, expense that people endure because they abuse alcohol or use it illegally, I mean, it's expensive, results in domestic assault. I mean, it just has a terrible effect on society, and I personally applaud the lowering of the breath alcohol standard 0.05, even though I'm a defense attorney, I actually frankly think it should be zero. I think there should be a zero tolerance. You should have 0.0. there should just be zero drinking and driving. Right. That's, if it was up to me, that's what I would do, because everyone knows the standard. You know, if you're 0.08 or 0.05, people think, well, can I have this many drinks or whatever?
Yeah.
But hey, if it's zero, you just know, don't drink and drive. It makes more sense to me. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about, so you do give them some education on alcohol and the effects on their minds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then talk to the parents about how to talk to their kids or look for signs of
right. Right, and that's more or less what the DARE program is educational for these students. Issues that they're probably already talking with their parents about. Again, parentsempower.org is what parents here in Draper are probably doing anyways. And it's just that added level of security with our children to make sure that we instill in their minds and their brains that this is something that we don't do. We don't take alcohol until we're, you know, at least over the age of 21, like you said, probably even later in life, because our brain is still developing right. until our mid to late 20s, and drugs. Yeah. And drugs consist of opiates, of pills, medications. Don't take anything that's not prescribed to you.
Yeah, the law is clear. If it's not your prescription, you can't possess it or take it. You can't borrow your friend's prescription. Right. You can't borrow your wife's prescription or your husband's or your kids. Prescriptions are specific to the people. So do you kind of give them advice on what sort of the drug of the day is or what's out there as far as the most dangerous stuff that the drug dealers are trying to sell?
I don't go over a lot of the hardcore drugs. We don't go over like cocaine and heroin and meth and stuff. At fifth grade, we mainly kind of lump that into just drugs in general. But we do go over pills, prescription medications. You know, if mom and dad have a prescription medication that's not healthy to take, don't go take one of those. It's not healthy for you. It could cause problems. And we really harp on alcohol as well. Not a whole lot on cigarettes. We do go over cigarettes a little bit, but we focus mainly on vaping because that's a big problem.
That's the thing now, is the vaping. The FDA just shut down some of the, I can't remember which, there was a recent story about some particular vape product was just, the FDA just said, no, this is not going out anymore.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but those, I tell you what, that vape spread through society as fast as anything I've ever seen. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Some of the people that sell the stuff make millions and millions of dollars.
That's the problem.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember I'm driving through the South a few years ago and seeing a tobacco field, seeing the plants, you know, and thinking, oh, okay, well, that's at least a plant. You can sort of understand it. But the vape is somebody mixing that up somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what they're putting in it. You don't know how they're mixing it. Nobody's regulating
all the crazy chemicals that are in there that we don't even know about.
Yep, it's like, it's amazing. Well, give us a little kind of, tell us your schedule. What's a day in a DARE officer like?
Yeah, I teach DARE on Thursdays and Fridays. It's the days that I teach DARE with the schools. But mainly I'm over at the middle school, and that's where my office is. So my hours are school hours. I'm in school when the kids are in school, and when the kids are out of school, I'm either here at the police department or I'm out of school. So,
what do you do when you're not doing DARE? Are you still out patrolling and helping?
I'll go on patrol. And then we'll also go out and help out our detectives. Our detectives are very busy. They have a lot on their plate, so we'll go out and assist them as well with calls.
So you guys kind of get tasked to some other functions that
within the department
need.
Yeah.
Are you on the canyon patrol at all?
Or I'm not. We do have a canyon.
Yeah, we do.
We do have a canyon's officer.
I'm trying to think. That's got to be the best.
That would be great.
That'd be the best police job in this city, in my opinion.
Yeah, get some good exercise.
Get paid mountain bike around the canyon. You know, seemed like a good job to me. So you're there Thursday and Friday all day.
So I teach at six schools.
So you're moving around between the schools.
Yeah, I do two at a time. Okay. So two each quarter. It's busy. It's definitely busy and it's exhausting, but it's enjoyable. I really enjoy it. It's fun.
Is it just you? Do you have any assistants or you're the whole thing?
Yeah, it's me.
You've got the whole program.
I got the whole program here in Draper.
Very good. Very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about what can parents and residents do to support the program. What kind of things do you think we could do better as a community to help support it?
I think the communities so far, in my opinion, I think they're doing great. Parents out there, they're talking with their kids. We'll go over the parentsempower.org and they'll look at that. But just support your children in DARE and let them know that this is a good program. I know there's a lot of negative talk sometimes in regards to DARE. This is nothing more than you talking to your kids as well about it. It's that, again, that added level of security to where we can help out your children make those choices or try to give them this ammo to be able to make good choices in the future. We're not telling your kid how to live their life. We're trying to help them become a good citizen within society.
Yeah, teach them a little bit about, I mean, of course, you can go over the consequences of, you know, there's extremes on every end, but generally speaking, being a drug addict is going to lead to the end of that stick is a bad one. It could be at the state penitentiary, could be in jail, could be poor income, no job, poor health, could be all kinds of nasty things. It's generally not going to be a good result if you're an addict. I think it's good to be able to just, the fact that you can help them focus on what a consequence is from a choice is really valuable.
That's it. And that's just it right there. Understanding the consequences of the choices that they're making. If they make this choice, it's going to lead to this. And then if they make another choice, it's going to lead to here and how they can get back onto those paths.
We ought to maybe do an adult DARE program. There's probably some folks that could use a little decision-making powers.
That's the truth.
Yeah, I always tell people, I wouldn't have a job if everyone had good decision-making skills. Neither would you.
That's right.
But, I mean, we sort of work in the same, the same crowd of folks who are making bad decisions. But can parents donate? Is this a program that takes donations, or how do they fund it? How is it funded?
So I'm not sure exactly how it's funded, or if the parents can donate. I'm sure there is. If you go to the DARE website, you can. I'm sure there's a way that you can donate to the program.
Tell us about the car. You see, everybody knows the DARE.
Yes.
Now, coolest police car out there.
I used to understand, or used to think, maybe I was wrong the whole time, but I used to understand that you got those cars like maybe in a drug bust, or you would get them from criminals.
That's probably what people are thinking.
Was that ever the case, or was that always just a myth?
I think the state might have collected some cars in that regards.
I remember seeing like Corvettes and really awesome sports cars that they got, in part of the big drug arrest or something. The car comes back and you get to use it in DARE. Is that still how it works? Or?
So not here in Draper. That's not how it works.
Okay.
Here, it was just my regular police car. So it was the black and white Draper along the side. And when I ended the program, I put it out there to my fifth graders, the first two classes I taught. So I went to Draper Elementary and I went to St. John the Baptist. And I said, I want you guys to design. And obviously I ran this by the chief.
The chief,
made
yeah.
sure everything
yeah.
was okay before. Yeah. And I got the go-ahead on it. And I wanted my fifth graders to design the DARE car. And so they sent in drawings of what they wanted the DARE car to look like.
Okay.
And I picked a winner. And I picked a couple winners, one from St. John the Baptist and one from Draper Elementary. And the St. John the Baptist, our winner there, designed the, if you guys look closely at my car, you'll see the badge inside the O in police. And that was designed by one of our fifth grade students last year at St. John the Baptist. And then the rest was designed by a student at Draper Elementary.
So cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you got some graphic designers coming up that are...
That's
awesome. Is that the first time that...
This is the first time.
Good work, Officer Neff, coming up with a new wrinkle. I mean, I'm sure now when the kids see that car, they're going to be like, hey, we had something to do with that.
Yeah.
That's very good, very good. Well, let's give us your perspective. I mean, you're a police officer. Your duties right now involve teaching these kids in the program. But at any moment in time, your duties could involve responding to one of these schools that you teach in with some type of violent activity. And so maybe give us a little bit of your two cents on what do you think the biggest concerns are for kids nowadays? What are they? What's their biggest stressor? And what are you worried about the most?
So I would think the biggest stressor for the kids nowadays, there's a lot of bullying going on at schools, a lot of stress this way for our students. So that's another topic that we talk about in DARE is bullying and how we can address it, identify it, stop it, prevent it, those types of things. I love these fifth graders. I love teaching them. I would do anything for them. So if I heard of any violence inside these schools, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be the first one there and I'm going to be going in and taking care of business if I need to. But I think the schools, for the most part, are very safe, and our students enjoy being there. Off the top of my head, the only thing I can think of right now is bullying. with our fifth graders.
Yeah, a big topic. I mean, you got a lot of young people that are, you know, getting suicidal ideations based upon how they're getting treated by their peers, which is just tragic. I mean, to be that young or to be nothing like being bullied.
So in regards to that, in a different school district just a few years ago, it was, I wouldn't say a trend, but because of bullying, there were kids that took their lives.
Yeah.
And it was almost a ripple effect. One kid took his life, and then another individual took their life. And so if we could prevent anybody from taking their lives by stepping in and preventing bullying from happening, we're going to.
Well, I think that's probably going to kind of just reiterate to families and kids themselves, anybody that wants to listen to this podcast, think about how you treat other people has a big effect on them, and how you get treated by other people affects you. We're all in it together. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're all valuable. We're all part of the process, and we need to learn how to love each other, get along with each other, and
that's correct.
Look past, you know, superficial differences of race, religion, you know, orientation, whatever it is. We just need to treat people with respect.
Accept each other and respect each other. Absolutely.
I mean, you're out in the prison dealing with the worst. You still got to show some respect to those guys, and they got to show some back to you. It's part of how it goes in life, right?
Yeah, that's what made our jobs a lot easier, is the mutual respect between the two.
I appreciate it. And just maybe in closing, we have a robust training program in Draper for our officers to respond to school violence. I mean, we're prepared.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're prepared for it. It's not going to be something you haven't trained for or been involved in.
We know
what you're going to do.
Correct.
So Draper citizens, our team, our police officers, in conjunction with the other agencies that work together, we have a plan. We know what we're going to do. There's not going to be confusion. They have a specific thing they're going to do, and our officers are not going to wait outside. They're not going to hang around. They're going to go in there and take care of the situation as quickly as possible.
Absolutely, 100%.
And you'd say that's the attitude of our law enforcement?
Oh, yeah.
Especially officers like you that have been in the schools. You're with the kids.
Yeah, you know? Well, these kids, they mean a lot to us, especially when we're in teaching them. They almost feel like they're my own kids when I'm in teaching their classes. So I can only imagine if there was something like that going on in one of the schools, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to go in, and I'm going to eliminate any threat that's there for these kids.
And maybe that Texas situation could have used the DARE officer who was connected, who would have just said, these are my kids, I'm going in, you know. Yeah. It's hard to second guess everything, and I'm not trying to say that, but I think it's important that we as a community, we have a very good police department, very well-trained, high-quality equipment. People are also the kind of people you want as law enforcement officers. They respect people, they treat people good, but they also know how to do their job, and we're preparing for every eventuality. Well, Officer Neff, anything else you want to say?
No, I appreciate you having me here. This is great. I love talking about DARE and educating people and letting them know really what is in this curriculum and what we teach your kids in the schools. And we really do enjoy being there. I thoroughly enjoy being there and talking with your kids and seeing them in the middle school the year after, to see the smiles on their face. And, you know, Officer Neff, as I'm walking down the halls, they get to know me. It's that connection.
And maybe we'll get some of them to want to be law enforcement officers, right?
We can cross our fingers.
Yeah, we're hopeful. I mean,
yes.
It's going to be an interesting next few years because people aren't interested in becoming law enforcement officers. There's all kinds of reasons, but we've still got the problem. So hopefully being a good example to them and showing them what good law enforcement's like is really cool and critical. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for all you do. Thanks for working for us and all the years you have. We appreciate you very much.
I enjoy it.
And we'll remember to make some good decisions.
Please do.
Linda,
we'll do
anything you want to add?
Just as a parent, I really appreciate the DARE program and similar programs in the schools, because I think at a certain age, kids start to tune out their parents a little bit as they test their boundaries, and having another respected adult in the school just reinforcing what they're being taught at home, I think goes a long way. And I hope that it's something that is appreciated, you know, by the community, and that you get a lot of support for it.
Yeah, and I do. I get a lot of support. So our community is fantastic in that regards.
Or if they're not being taught at home, some kids aren't getting taught good decision-making at home. This might be their only exposure to it.
Right.
Right, you know? Exactly.
And no one knows the world better than a 17-year-old. They know everything, right? I mean, they can't tell them.
I've got one of those.
I don't know. 14 knows a lot, too.
I think it starts about 14. It goes till about 20, and then they go, oh, wait a minute. I don't know everything. Yeah, no, you're right. There's probably a lot of kids that aren't getting good decision-making models. They may not have a parent that's a good role model. So this could be a valuable program for people. Might be their only chance to learn a good decision-making model.
Yeah, that is the case.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you all.
For timely information on city news, events, traffic alerts, and public safety emergencies, you may subscribe to email or text notifications from Draper City by visiting draperutah.gov/notify, or follow us on social media at Draper City Utah on Facebook and at Draper City on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. This has been Draper City Talk. Please join us again.